Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In May of 2010, a sex worker named Shannon Gilbert went missing after running through a neighborhood in Oak Beach, a gated community in New York's Long Island. Gilbert, who had been suffering a manic episode of some kind at the time of her disappearance, would not be found for the better part of 2 years, but her disappearance would lead to the discovery of nearly a dozen bodies buried along Long Island's Gilgo Beach. Over the next several years, a morbid saga would begin to play out in this relatively affluent area of Suffolk County. Police initially discovered just a few sets of remains, and then roughly a half dozen more in the months to come. 4 of the bodies were identified as missing sex workers that had disappeared in the preceding years. 25-year-old Maureen Brainard Barnes, 24-year-old Melissa Bartholomew, 22-year-old Megan Waterman, and 27-year-old Amber Lynn Costello. But the other sets of remains would go unidentified, a status that they retain to this day. Police would spend the next several years linking other potential victims to this horrific crime spree, which had been preying upon sex workers and other disenfranchised women for over a decade. Some public discord would shed light on the Suffolk County Police Department's own internal infighting, which seemed to differ on whether or not they believed this was the work of one serial killer or several, a disagreement that ultimately prevented the FBI from coming in to handle the investigation themselves. I detailed this investigation, as well as the many scandals plaguing the Suffolk County Police Force during this time period, in my original 3-part series back in 2016, titled The Long Island Serial Killer. The first episode addressed the disappearance of Shannon Gilbert. The second explored the lives of the other known victims, who I named just a moment ago, the Lost Girls. And the third episode detailed the drama surrounding Suffolk County and the ongoing status of the investigation. I would very much recommend you go back and listen to those 3 episodes before we continue on with this update, as what comes next will probably not make much sense without that context. I have chimed in from time to time with small updates to detail what has unfolded in the nearly 4 years since my original episodes. The short answer is, not much. The somewhat longer answer is, the case is still as open and unsolved as ever, and police seem to be no closer to solving this case than they were back in 2011. Much of the drama from these minor updates has regarded Suffolk County's treatment of Shannon Gilbert, the woman whose 2010 disappearance eventually led to the discovery of all of the victims from Gilgo Beach. Police have stated repeatedly that Shannon was not a victim of any serial killer, but rather a victim of, quote, misadventure, unquote, whose death was purely accidental. However, in the years since, they have yet to release information from Shannon's case, such as her panicked phone call to 911 from the night she disappeared, claiming that this phone call is somehow pertinent to their ongoing investigation, despite claiming in the same breath that Shannon's death is not related to any serial killer. It's very much a case of a police force wanting their cake and eating it too, and on numerous occasions, a judge has actually ordered the release of this 22-minute phone call, but the Suffolk County Police continue to appeal this ruling nearly 2 years later, citing their ongoing investigation. This is basically where the case has been stuck for the past several years, as public scrutiny continues to bear down upon law enforcement's handling of the case. Several known killers have been speculated to have been the Long Island serial killer, including some of whom I covered in my original three-part series, such as John Bitrolf and Neil Falls, but none of these leads have seemed to pan out. Earlier this week, though, Suffolk County Police announced that they were going to be holding a press conference on Thursday, January 16th. In this press conference, they were going to share previously undisclosed evidence in the ongoing Gilgo Beach investigation, their first such disclosure in several years, which seemed to spark hopes that maybe some of the unidentified victims had been identified through DNA testing, or that police were prepared to use technological breakthroughs in forensic testing to help track down the still unknown killer. Instead, police used this opportunity to announce the launch of a new website aimed at dispersing information to the rest of the world, as well as releasing an image of a black leather belt embossed with the initials of HM or WH. A belt that had possibly been worn or used by the killer. I'll let you listen to the press conference and make up your own mind about this announcement.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I would first like to introduce Suffolk County Police Commissioner Geraldine Hart. She is joined by Suffolk County District Attorney Timothy Sini, First Deputy Commissioner James Skopeck, Chief of Department Stuart Cameron, Chief of Detectives Gerard Giganti, and the Commanding Officer of the Homicide Section, Detective Lieutenant Kevin Byrer. After the Commissioner and District Attorney make their remarks, we will take a few questions. We will also distribute a transcript of the Commissioner's remarks at the end of the conference. Please keep in mind that due to the nature of this investigation, the Commissioner will not comment on statements made by prior administrations, nor comment on possible suspects, additional evidence, or specifics in this investigation. And due to the number of media here, during the Q&A, I would just ask that you raise your hand if you want to ask a question. Thank you. Commissioner?
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. The Gilgo Beach investigation is perhaps the most well-known and complex that this department has ever undertaken. It is important that the families of these murder victims know that we remain steadfast in our commitment to deliver justice, and in doing so, give a sense of closure. In our continued effort to advance this investigation, today we are sharing information with the public that we hope will shed new light on this investigation. In a few minutes, I will release a photograph of a previously undisclosed piece of evidence found at one of the crime scenes. We understand the value of information provided by the public that could assist us in this case. That is why we are launching a website dedicated exclusively to the Gilgo Beach investigation. GilgoNews.com is a platform to better facilitate an information exchange with the public, where the department will, when appropriate, release information as well as provide an additional avenue for the public to submit a tip. And finally, I will update you on a scientific technique that we are utilizing that we hope will move this case forward. Before I get into specifics, let me review the chronology of what has brought us here today. It has been more than 9 years since Suffolk officers searching along Ocean Parkway for Shannon Gilbert, who had been reported missing months earlier, discovered the first set of remains belonging to Melissa Bartholomew on December the 11th of 2010. A further search of the area 2 days later led to the discovery of three more bodies: Amber Lynn Costello, Megan Waterman, and Maureen Baynard Barnes. The search for Shannon continued, and in March of 2011, the remains of Jessica Taylor were located, nearly 8 years after Taylor's partial remains were located in Manorville in July of 2003. Three more sets of remains were discovered on April the 4th of 2011. Jane Doe number 6, whose partial remains were previously located in Manorville in November of 2000. The remains of an unidentified female toddler believed to be approximately 2 years old, who through DNA testing has been identified as the daughter of a woman whose remains were located in Nassau County. And finally, an unidentified Asian male believed to be between 17 and 23 years old. A week after these three sets of remains were found in Suffolk, the remains of two additional victims were located in Nassau, including the toddler's mother. Police continued their effort to locate the woman whose disappearance had initiated this search, and on December the 13th of 2011, the remains of Shannon Gilbert were located in Oak Beach. Today, we are launching a website dedicated to sharing information with the public about these unsolved murders and also providing a new way for the public to provide us with tips. To that end, we are asking the public to carefully consider the information provided on the website and whether they may have any information that could bring this case forward. As appropriate, we will share additional information via the website with the hope that with its release, the public will generate new tips and new investigative leads. The website will be dynamic with evolving content posted over time. From the onset, there will be a section to enable the submission of tips anonymously should the tipster choose so. Today, we are releasing the first piece of new information that will be featured on the website. A significant piece of evidence found at one of the crime scenes along Ocean Parkway. A black leather belt embossed with the letters HM or WH was recovered during the initial stages of this investigation. We believe that the belt was handled by the suspect and did not belong to any of the victims. We are not providing the specific location where the belt was found, and additional information on this item will not be available at this time. However, we do anticipate releasing photographs of the belt via gilgonews.com when appropriate. We are hopeful that this photograph will bring somebody forward with information about the origin of that article. In addition to this newly released image, we are optimistic that scientific advances will also bring new information to light. We have leveraged the expertise of our federal partners and are utilizing new scientific advances to expand our investigative capabilities. We were granted approval by the New York State Department of Health and have provided the FBI with DNA samples from our unidentified victims for the purpose of conducting genetic genealogy. The process includes uploading DNA to public genealogy databases in an effort to identify possible relatives of our unidentified victims. It is not clear how long this process will take. Information about the possibility of other DNA collected during the investigation will not be discussed. Even with these advances in technology, we know that the public remains one of our greatest resources. I encourage anyone who may have information to submit a tip, even if you wish to remain anonymous. The new website can be accessed at gilgonews.com. You can also submit a tip to Crime Stoppers by visiting p3tips.com, and Crime Stoppers can also be reached at 1-800-220-TIPS. There has been a tremendous amount of effort put into solving this case, and I can tell you that everyone involved is motivated by one goal, to deliver justice to these victims and to give them some sense of peace and some sense of closure. Before we take questions, our Suffolk County District Attorney, Timothy Sini, will address the media. Before he does so, I want to thank him for his partnership. Him and his team have been committed, and together, we are all committed to solving these homicides. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hart. It wasn't too long ago that I served as police commissioner. And of course, the Gilgo Beach murder investigation was one of the first cases that we took a deep dive into. And one of the first calls I made was actually to Geraldine Hart. Except she wasn't police commissioner at the time. She was the head of the Long Island FBI office. And one of the tools that we knew we wanted to use in this investigation was to engage with our federal partners, in particular the FBI, to assist us in this very important investigation. When I made that call to Commissioner Hart, at the time as a supervisor in the FBI, she welcomed us with open arms, and we engaged the FBI immediately. And that's why I'm so proud that we're standing here today, strengthening our partnership between my office, the Suffolk County Police Department, the FBI, and continuing to move this investigation forward by implementing new tools in our toolbox. I want to thank all the police officers who are involved in this investigation. Chief Cameron has detailed the amount of work that has gone into this investigation in the past, starting with the initial searches. The amount of work that has gone into this case is perhaps unprecedented. And as the commissioner said, we remain committed to obtaining justice in this case. And lastly, and some of you may have never heard me say this, I want to thank the media. The partnership with the media is very important. I can't tell you how many times when I was police commissioner and now that I'm DA, where the media's coverage of injustices, crimes, and other issues in the community have helped us obtain justice. Whether it's our local papers, our local news stations, and I want to thank all of you for paying attention and providing the attention and coverage that these matters deserve. I'll close with just thanking the police commissioner and the Suffolk County Police Department for their tremendous work on this investigation. My office remains committed to doing everything we can to solve these murders. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'll open it up for questions. Here you go. Yes.
Commissioner, why release it now when you've had it for a while? What has changed?
So we are constantly evaluating the investigation. We're looking at the steps that we've taken. We're looking at the technology that's available at the time. And we made a decision as a team that now is the time to release this information. Yes, Nicole.
Sure, you said that you don't believe this belt belonged to any of the victims, that it belonged to
the suspect.
One of the killers. Why, what makes the police department believe that?
So I'm not going to get into the specifics on why we do indeed believe that, but we do believe that this item was handled by the suspect and did not belong to any of the victims.
Can you indicate whether it's a brand stamp or whether it's like a monogram? Just to indicate to us what this these letters appear to be.
So I will tell you that it's embossed on the belt. It is for the public to assist us in that determination. Yes.
When you say handled, do you mean, is it believed that the suspect somehow used the belt to hurt a victim, or?
So that's nothing that I'll get into today, but I will say that we believe the suspect handled the belt.
Is there any DNA evidence on or fingerprints on the belt?
Nothing regarding other scientific techniques are going to be discussed today.
Yes.
So it's important as an investigative team that we keep our mind open to all avenues and don't particularly marry ourselves to one theory of the investigation. We go where the facts lead us. So we do not speculate or come across with a determination such as that before the facts indicate so.
So no leading theory, and this could be multiple suspects.
Again, we keep our mind open as investigators and make sure that we go where the facts take us.
What would you ask the people who have already given tips over the last 9 years? Say they've called in tips, they've called the FBI, and it's gotten nowhere. Would you ask them now to repeat this process with the new website?
So I'll begin by saying that the effort that's been put into this case is extraordinary. And I also want to echo the district attorney and commend our detectives that are working on this case, commend the agents that are now partnering with us. And I will tell you that we continue to always take every lead seriously and run it down accordingly. And I would encourage the public, if they know anything, even if they think it's insignificant, it may be a piece that fits into a broader picture that we could utilize. So I'd encourage the public to always come forward. Yes.
How long have you had this piece of evidence?
We collected it at the initial stage of the investigation.
So 9 years ago?
At the initial stage, right, of the investigation.
So why now?
Years with this
piece of evidence, which you clearly think is going to be something that's going to be able to move this case forward at this point, why did you sit on it for 9 years? Why now?
So again, a case is always evaluated based on the facts on the ground and what's going on. We're constantly reevaluating. We're constantly trying new techniques. Science and technology are moving forward at a mind-boggling pace, and we're making sure that we're constantly keeping up with it and utilizing technology to the best of our ability. We have decided now to leverage social media, obviously with the website, and put information out there in the hopes that the public will come forward with a piece of information about the origin of that article.
Okay, because this has nothing to do with technology.
This is obviously magnified. Can you give us a sense of how big the original was? And you said it was embossed. I just don't know exactly what that means.
Right. So the actual letters are approximately 1/2 by 1/2 inch. So that is dramatically, obviously, increased. And embossed is, you know, is it stamped? Is it we're not certain. So what we want is the public's help on that.
And is it a whole belt or a piece of belt?
I'm sorry?
Is it a whole belt or a piece of a belt?
I said that it was located on a belt. That was my statement. That we recovered?
Yeah.
Yes, and we'll be releasing photographs of that.
Have you been able to trace its origins, where it was manufactured or anything along those lines?
So again, I'm putting out information about the belt, which I've stated already. It's a black leather belt found at one of the initial stages of the investigation.
Will you be noticing anything further?
So we will be using GilgoNews.com to facilitate an information exchange with the public. Today? So again, I just want to emphasize that this website is now going to be an avenue for us to assist us in facilitating information sharing with the public. So that will now be a platform for us to utilize.
Commissioner, can you hold that up again? Let's just get another big look at it.
Did this new technology that the Department of Health is allowed to use, did that play a factor in why you're releasing this today?
So that's nothing they'll comment on.
Commissioner, why not release the 911 tapes of Shannon Gilbert?
So as you know, a judge ruled on the 911 tapes. We have appealed that ruling, and we'll obviously be guided by the appellate division's decision.
But why not? Why appeal the verdict? Why do you not want those 911 tapes released to the public?
So we've considered part of the investigation, and we're making sure that we're protecting the investigation as we move forward, as we do with every piece of evidence.
If she wasn't a victim of the killer, how is that tape part of an ongoing investigation?
So we're not necessarily certain. We don't think she matches many of the patterns of the Gilgo Beach homicides. As you know, the medical examiner has determined that it's actually undetermined. They do not know whether it's natural causes or the cause of a criminal act. So we are moving forward based on that. So we've constantly said, and I can tell you at least for the time that I've been involved with this investigation since 2015, that she does not match the pattern of the Gilgo Beach homicides. But again, I want to emphasize to everybody here, we let the facts dictate where we're going to go with this investigation. It's very dangerous to speculate or come to conclusions before all the investigation is completed and the evidence is reviewed.
Thank you.
Commissioner, was that a new belt or an older belt? Did it look like it was brand new or like old belt?
So again, it was found at the crime scene.
The website is working. When is the website going to be up?
https://.
We tried. It's
not on the internet. What size is the waist for the belt?
When is it going to be up?
It should be live. What happens
is the waist
for the belt. What size is the waist?
So I'm not giving information on the size of the belt.
When will you release a photo of the whole belt?
Thank you, Commissioner.
That tells you right there.
I know that I always say this, but I try to keep my own opinions out of the podcast as much as possible. For the most part, I try to let the facts speak for themselves. But this information just struck me as a little underwhelming, maybe? I don't know if that's the right word for it, because this information could feasibly change things for the investigation in a major way. But after so many years of the victim's loved ones being unable to find justice or answers, this just seemed like too little too late to me. The disclosure of the belt with the initials HM or WH, which you should be able to see as the cover of this episode, was a pretty big disclosure. Hopefully that helps track down the bastard behind these horrific crimes. And please, if that belt does look like anything you've seen before, or those initials ring a bell, please reach out to the Suffolk County Police Department. But, unfortunately, more than 24 hours after the press conference, the website set up to disclose information, which they announced as GilgoNews.com, still hasn't launched, or has been so inundated that it's impossible to load. I feel like making sure that the website was operational before the press conference would have helped attract a lot of attention to the details of this case that had escaped the public consciousness. But what do I know? I'm just a dude with a microphone. While I'm on my soapbox, though, I also found the disclosure that Suffolk County Police were finally going to utilize DNA testing to help identify the unknown victims to be a bit lackluster, considering that they've had the possibility to do so for several months at the very least, but just announced this initiative now, in January of 2020. I do seriously hope that it helps lead to resolution for the still unidentified victims, but I just wish that this press conference had been more, I don't know, focused? It seems like this entire press conference was really set up to release one piece of information that may or may not be useful, and then filled up with other stuff that may or may not pan out into something useful. And if you were paying attention to the end of the press conference, Suffolk County police officials remained pretty hesitant to commit to a decision when it came to the recording of Shannon Gilbert's 911 phone call, which I personally found to be a bit demeaning to Shannon's family, who want to try and bring resolution to her case, which Suffolk County has repeatedly insisted has nothing to do with their ongoing investigation, but is also somehow integral to it. I could seriously go on and on with how duplicitous that seems, but I'll digress. All in all, the disclosure of information in this case is a good thing. This press conference definitely helped attract a lot of attention to the ongoing Gilgo Beach investigation, but I just wish that police had been more forthright about certain details from the beginning, and would finally just release Shannon Gilbert's 911 call if they continued to insist that her death was accidental. From the beginning, Suffolk County has done very little to put out the flames surrounding their department when it comes to scandalous theories and whatnot, and I think that they've unfortunately done very little to repair their goodwill in the community after the last few years. I sincerely hope that this update in the case helps lead to some kind of resolution, perhaps by identifying the killer, or perhaps leading to the unknown victims regaining their identities. But until such a time, the story of the Long Island serial killer, tragically, remains unresolved.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.